You have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 40. We haven't been in Genesis in a couple weeks. I was looking at the web today on our uploads and said, how come there has not been a message for 2 weeks? Oh, yeah, we had Pizza and the Word and the Play. Yeah, that was it. So last 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, we were in Genesis 39, if you remember the story of Potiphar. Joseph had been sold into slavery. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He went to jail. He was innocent, but the Lord was with him. You know, it just really bothers me when people make judgmental statements about your spirituality. I had someone say to me, well, if the Lord was with you, your church would be growing. Don't you? Yeah. That's right. That's right. And, you know, I reminded them that Jeremiah didn't have any converts. You know, sometimes it's not the message, it's the times. And Israel was so backslidden, despite all that he said, nobody believed. Ezekiel, same thing. Ezekiel's laying on his side, pronouncing judgment. Nobody believes. And the ones, you know, and it's a lot like what we see today. You start telling people Jesus is coming, you get more persecution from the church than you do the world. Because they, you know, and Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And the answer is apparently not. At any rate, we're in Genesis chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things. After what things? After Joseph being falsely accused, ended up in jail. And, of course, each time Joseph is sent somewhere, the Lord's with him, he gives him favor with men. He gave him favor with Potiphar, gave him favor with the keeper of the prison, and he committed all of the management of the prison to him. And so it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Now this is Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. Now, these, keep in mind, this is not just a butler and a baker. You know, this is the chief butler. This is like the administrator, the director of all of the butlers. And this is the administrator, the director of the whole kitchen staff, right? Or the bakers, right? So these are people who are high up, right next to Pharaoh, next to the king. They're like, you know, an aide. And we don't know what they did that offended him, but he was mad. And so because he was mad at these, he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. Now, when I see things changing in the geopolitical arena, and, you know, we saw this thing that happened several years ago. They called it the Arab Spring. Obama went to Egypt, and he said, you know, I'm going to make some changes. And he thought he was going to bring about some great Islamic peace in the Middle East. all hell has broken loose, right? The reality is that when you begin to see a stirring in positions of power, the Bible says it is God who elevates kings and deposes kings. And so these two high-up administrators next to Pharaoh, it was God behind what was going on to get them into the prison with the man of God, because God had a plan. When you see things in your life begin to stir, when you see turmoil happening, or you think, what in the world is going on? Don't freak out. It may be God doing something. Wait until everything plays out and see what happens. It may look bad, but God may be working, amen, as he was here. And so they're in the palace, in the prison with Joseph. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. And he served them, so they were in custody for a while. Now, before we get into verse 5, remember, the butler had the responsibility of pouring Pharaoh's wine. And the baker had the responsibility of giving him bread. And so we see the communion emblems here of the wine and the bread. You will see the fingerprint of Jesus all over the story of Joseph, and we will bring those out as we come to them. Verse 5, then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. Now, I don't know how many of you guys dream. They say we dream all the time. I don't remember all my dreams. Sometimes they're good dreams. Usually they're bad dreams. Sometimes they may be the Lord. Other times they may be that pepperoni pizza I had before I went to bed. I don't know. But it's kind of interesting here that they both had a dream. They both had a dream the same night, and both of them meant something. So here again we see the fingerprint of God. And Joseph came to them in the morning, and he looked at them, and he saw that they were sad. He saw the countenance of their face. And so he knew something was going on, and he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Now, you know, when the Lord has a man in place, he can and will often reveal secrets to him about things that are going on. Sometimes in my life, and I'm not boasting, it's the Holy Spirit, it's the way the Holy Spirit works, I will see something going on in some people's lives, and I will say to Carolyn, "This is going on," or "Something's going on in their life." And I just it's like intuitiveness, but I think it's the Holy Spirit. It's something that God has given me a gift. I can sometimes read the emotions and just kind of know. And oftentimes I'm right. Sometimes I've been wrong. So I'm not saying it's all always the Lord, you know. But at any rate, the interpretation belongs to God. God can do it, right? And so that's what he tells them. So he says to them, "Do not the interpretation belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and he said to him, "Behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, it blossomed, shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you. Please show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house." So, you know, he's exercising this spiritual gift, and then he's using this spiritual gift to try to gain freedom from this house arrest he's under. Now, the Bible says that a man's gifts will make way for himself, or make him, give him opportunities. And it is not wrong when God has given you a gift. You use it for the glory of God, but at the same time, you allow the gift to guide your direction. You know, Paul said, "You don't muzzle the mouth of an ox that treads out the corn." And the implication is, if you are being used by God, then it should bring you farther down the road, so to speak, be it whether it's financially or socially or whatever the case may be. God wants to use your gift to open doors for you. And as long as you keep giving God the glory, he will do that. And so he says, you know, "Remember me." Now, He goes on to say, "For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that should that they should put me into this dungeon." Now, when the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, so, you know, he's had this dream. He's like, "Oh, all right, 3 days, he's out of here." So he's kind of anxious to hear what Joseph is going to say about his. And he says, "I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head." So Joseph answered, and he said, "This is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are the 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." And so not quite the interpretation that the butler had, and certainly nothing to look forward to. But it did come to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to the butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, and he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, that's okay, because remember who's writing the story. If it was me or you, he'd be out in a minute. But we're not writing the story. The Holy Spirit's writing the story. The Holy Spirit is making things happen in his time. And probably one of the things that is hardest for us when we study the scriptures is the passage of time. Because even if it tells us the passage of time, we can just go ahead and read that it's 2 years later, right? Came to pass at the end of 2 full years, verse 1 of 41. And then we could just keep on reading the story. But what if you had to just, you'd never read it before, you had to put the Bible on the shelf and wait 2 years to find out what happened to Joseph? That might be a little frustrating, huh? Well, if it's frustrating for you, think how it would be for Joseph. Because he has now gotten word to someone who is right next to the king, to Pharaoh, and now he's waiting. He waits a day, waits a week. Surely he'll remember me. Waits a month. I think he forgot me. He waits 6 months. He has forgotten me. He waits a year. Oh, my gosh, I'm never going to get out of here. He waits 18 months. 2 years. That's a long time to wait. It's a long time to wait. But remember, God is writing the story. And oftentimes, you and I aren't done baking in the oven of God. Everything that we will ever be for the Lord happens through the crucible of the fire of persecution or waiting. And sometimes waiting can be even harder than persecution, because we can feel like God has forgotten us. We can feel like God doesn't love us. We can feel like God is not on the throne. We can feel like God isn't even there. And, you know, when we go through these things and we have to wait on God, one of the things that it teaches us is that P word, patience. The Bible says, in your patience, you possess your soul. And you know, that's probably one of the greatest virtues. I love talking to some of these saints who have walked with the Lord for years, because they never get excited about anything. I'm not saying they don't get excited about the Lord. I'm talking about other things. You know, whereas you and I, we may be up today and down tomorrow. We may be praising God and then crying, "God, where are you at? Why don't you love me?" And yet, through their life, they can have the same storms and the same trials, but they're just even keel. Well, God will take care of it. And they're just so patient, because they have lived the years like Joseph lived. And they have learned, I was young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. And so, God help us to recognize that when we have to wait, that you're just keeping us in the oven a little longer, baking us a little longer, so that we're not doughy, that we're fully cooked, that we are perfect the way God intended us to be. One of the interesting stories idioms. I think it's from Hosea. He called Israel a cake not turned. And I don't know if you ever make pancakes, but, you know, you pour the batter in the griddle, and it gets golden brown, but then you have to turn it over because on the top it's all doughy. And so you turn it over and you cook the other side. Well, a cake not turned is kind of like it's golden brown, and so instead of flipping it on the griddle, you just flip it on the plate. And so you give it to someone, and the top of the cake looks golden brown because that's what was against the griddle. And they take a bite, and they all the doughy, yucky dough because it was never flipped. And he called Israel a cake not turned because they weren't done baking. They never had the other side. So on the outside they look done, but underneath it's raw. And sometimes we're that way. Sometimes we look spiritual and we act spiritual, but there's things inside that God needs to bake a little longer, and that's why we have to wait and just let the Lord have his way. Now, I want to go a little longer if you guys don't mind. It's kind of hard to stop here. So verse four, or chapter 41, it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he stood by the river. And suddenly they came up out of the river seven cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadows. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt. They stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. The ugly and gaunt cows ate up the seven fine-looking and fat cows, so Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly seven heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. And behold, seven thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the seven thin heads devoured the seven plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and he called for the magicians of Egypt and all of its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. And then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my fault this day. And so all of a sudden, ping, the light comes on. You know, after 2 years, he remembers Joseph, and he calls it his fault. He understands, oh, man, I was supposed to tell you about this guy. When Pharaoh was angry with his servant and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, we each had dreams in one night. He and I, each of us, dreamed according to the interpretation of his dream, his own dream. And there was a young Hebrew man up with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And so here we see, again, the gift of Joseph now making a way for him. Amen? You know, if we will just allow God to have his way in our life, the Bible says he who ascended first descended, and he gave gifts unto men. And, you know, one of the greatest treasures that the Lord has for us is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as we receive these gifts of the Holy Spirit, God wants to use these as an asset in your life to make a way for you. And that's what happened with Joseph. And so he tells him about Joseph's ability to interpret his dreams. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. And he restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved and changed his clothes and came to Pharaoh. Now, remember the Jews or the Hebrews always had beards. But Egyptians, they were clean shaven. Sometimes they'd have a little beard kind of tied down into a long little thing, but most of the time their faces are very clean and smooth and shaved, and so they shaved Joseph, they changed his clothes, and he came to Pharaoh. This is why when we get farther in the story, his brothers don't recognize him, because he doesn't look like a Hebrew, he looks like an Egyptian. And so they brought him to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And so Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now, it's one of the tactics of the devil as God begins to bless you is to make you think that the reason you're blessed is because of you. And if you are faithful to the Lord, you will be certain not to take any of the praise but pass it on. This is almost verbatim what happened with Daniel when Daniel interpreted was brought before Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar said basically the same thing. I understand that you have the gift of interpreting dreams. And Daniel said, no, O king, but there is a God that dwells in the heavens that can interpret your dream. And Joseph basically says the same thing. God will give Pharaoh the answer. It's not me. It's not me. God will give the answer. And you know, when it's the Lord, you got to give credit where credit's due, you know. It's not me, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. When Peter told John, you know, when the fish are on the fire and they had been fishing all night and Jesus is on the bank and says, put your net on the other side, when they pull all those fish in, Peter said John said to Peter, it's the Lord. I mean, that's all you can say when something miraculous happens. That's not me. It's the Lord. And Joseph said, it's God. It's not me. It's God. And so Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream, I stood on the banks of the river, and suddenly seven cows came up out of the river, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadows. And then, behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt. Such ugliness as I had never seen in all the land of Egypt. These were some ugly cows. And the gaunt and the ugly cows ate up the first seven, the fat cows. When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke. Also, I saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came upon one stalk, full and good. Then behold, seven heads withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them, and the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. And so I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Now, well, let's go on just a little bit more now. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. In other words, they both have the same interpretation. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Anytime God tells something twice, you really want to take note of it. You know, when Moses was by the burning bush, the voice of God said, Moses, Moses, you know. He repeated himself. Jesus oftentimes, verily, verily, you know, repeats himself. That's kind of like the teacher in school snapping their fingers. All right, listen to this. This is important. And so here, the interpretation of the dream, they're both the same interpretation. He just tells it to him twice. He really wants him to get his attention. And he says, the seven good cows are 7 years, seven years, seven good heads are 7 years, the dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows that came up after them were 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. And this is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Aren't you glad that God shows us what he's about to do? Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all of the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all of the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. Now, this is a prophetic story of what was about to happen in Egypt, and it is a prophetic story of what is happening in the world today. When I was in Tulsa over the 4th of July weekend at my brother's house, I tried to warn him that the Lord was coming. Tried to tell him that the economy was going to fail. My brother has some money in stocks. He said, nuh-uh, the economy's better than it's ever been. I said, that's because we're in the seven fat cows. But there's seven skinny cows coming, I'm telling you. Some people just don't want to believe until it's too late. 7 years ago, our world began to change. We elected a Muslim president. the economy grew, but our military, everything around us has been fragilely built into a house of cards. And we are now at the end of that 7 years, I believe, and I believe that the house of cards is about to fall. It is a very sobering time in the history of the world, of the United States. But God has shown us what He's going to do. And as a child of God, we don't need to fear, for the odds are with God. So, He tells Pharaoh, 7 years of plenty, followed by a 7 year famine that will bring, that will eat up everything there. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the product of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. Let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then the food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. And so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to the servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has showed you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." Now, as I mentioned earlier, when I was talking about the butler and the baker, that the fingerprints of God are all over this in types and shadows. And the Bible says that after Jesus died on the cross, He went to heaven and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And here we see Joseph being given the permission to sit at the right hand of the throne of Pharaoh, second in command. And yet given the authority to rule all of Egypt during these 14 years. And so I believe that even though we say that even though bad things begin to happen 7 years ago, I also believe that Jesus began to work in a way that He hadn't worked for 2,000 years, 7 years ago. I believe it was God that brought about the turmoils in the Middle East. I believe it's God that's bringing about so many of these changes. I don't think it's a coincidence that Putin and Russia are on a move. I don't think it's a coincidence that all of these things are happening. I believe God is working. And very soon, if not already, the seals on the title deed to planet Earth will begin to be broken, and Jesus is getting ready to come again. Isn't that exciting? We're going to stop there tonight. It's getting late. We'll pick up where we left off next week. What does this do for me? How can I apply this to my life? Well, as I said earlier, sometimes when we don't see God moving and we have to wait, it can be frustrating. But knowing that if I do right, if I keep my integrity, if I do what I know the Lord wants me to do, then in His time, He will elevate me and use me in this last day harvest. And so the lesson of Joseph is the lesson of all of us. Wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord and know that God is in control and that nothing catches Him off guard. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the life of Joseph, a type of Christ, and yet, Lord, such a great example for each of us. And so, Lord, when we don't see You moving when we think You should, or we don't see Your hand in our lives like we think we should, help us remember those 2 years that Joseph waited. And let us remember, Lord, that You are working in us, that You want us to be fully baked, not like a cake once turned, but you want us to be cooked through and through to the image of Christ, so that when we are, we know that you will bring us out of whatever we're waiting stage we're in, and you will use us, Lord. And that's our heart's desire. So be glorified in our life and have your way. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.